coming again to do the Hot D Podcast HBO. Boys, come on again to say the dragons into something else.
Wow. Oh, thank you very much for that introduction, me. I really appreciate it. Welcome back to Hot D in the Morning.
Welcome back to Hot D in the Morning. We got Ryan
That's
here
me.
With our buddy Jimmy, all the way up north. Come on, Jimmy, how you feeling with the Hot D this week?
Yeah, this is episode 8.
By reading
Title
James's notes about
soon.
This episode, I feel like we're going to get a naysayer, and I'm going to be aggressive the entire time.
Sounds pretty rad.
The Lord of the Tides, a bad name for this bad episode.
Shut up. You shut up. Oh, sorry. I can't just
oh
start.
Oh, my God. There were so many good parts.
We all watched this episode together, which was nice.
Yeah, this is the first time.
So we got to hear James griping in real time, which was fun.
It was so fun.
It's really cool. I mean, I just love the whole Star Wars prequels prophecy plotline and how big of a thing it is in this show. It's so good that they're doing that.
I saw that the showrunners...
Listen.
I'm going to do my best today to ignore your sass. I saw that the showrunners said that this was going to be 4 seasons. How?
What?
How? How's that going to happen?
With a lot of filler.
Sure.
Well, you said we're what? Sure. 40% in, 30% in?
Like 50, right. 60 pages out of 150 of the source material?
That's it. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the rest of the show will be, like, honestly, season 2 till the end is just going to be straight war.
Dragon time.
But, yeah.
Which is sick. I'll take
your elderly
it.
Father, which, by the way, I would not call him that. You reference him as your elderly father.
He sure does.
Will be psyched.
He does that.
About all the dragon times.
Waiting, still waiting.
But
I need more dragons.
I mean, they're going to be stretching that shit out.
Yeah, for sure. I wonder if another prequel will premiere by the time House of the Dragon is over, or if they will keep it for whenever House of the Dragon is done, and like the night of the House of the Dragon finale is the next prequel that's hopefully not Nettles' prequel, because I don't want it.
Inform me what's
don't
that?
Even worry. Don't, dude, don't even.
Do not worry gotcha. About it, bro.
Cool. So, Patty Considine, aka Viserys, pretty fucking ratty in this episode.
Right.
Pretty ratty.
Yeah. The memes didn't even do it justice.
Yeah.
Like all the memes. Like Gollum, he would kill to look like Gollum did.
Yeah. Right.
They turned him into Gollum, and his creepy CGI hands were enormous next to Allison's entire body.
She's just got a small frame, I think is what it was.
It's like she's acting against one of the CGI people from the Beowulf movie.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, that was bad.
Okay. I don't know if you have to assign Beowulf to that. Nothing deserves to be assigned Beowulf-esque vibes. That's just not nice.
You know, aside from the strange, distracting, large hand CGI, honestly... That was one of the best acted things in this show. Like, he's so good as King Viserys. He is. I like him
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah, and what a turn in his career, too, since he's mainly a comedy guy.
I think the show is about to lose its best actor.
I know.
Like, we'll talk about in this episode.
I gotta say, the Rogue P is kind of growing on me, just because,
oh, yeah,
like,
he's great.
The weirdness never lets up, but at least he has a consistent character, which I always appreciate.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think he's growing on not only you and me as well, but the internet. I have seen more TikToks about the Rogue P baby from this episode than any other, just because there's a TikTok audio that happens where it's like, and all of my feminism faded away in this one moment, and all I wanted was for I don't remember exactly what the rest of the meme is. It's something about the Rogue P baby rocking socks, and this
well
episode
done,
had two of
Ryan.
Them.
Nailed it.
Thanks, man.
So, this episode begins. It's another time jump.
Yeah.
Now, it's many years later.
Do we know how many years?
Probably about 7 or 8, I think.
Oh, okay.
It's bold for them to do 2 time jumps within 3 episodes. I think if it was any other show, it would be getting a lot more shit for doing it. And I don't think you can say that they're doing it poorly, but it is disappointing they're doing it at all still. Like, that aura, the fact that they chose this life is a bit of a bummer.
Yeah, and I'm getting very confused with some of these actors. I think while we were watching it, I was like, okay, No Eye Son looks like the adult version of the kid who was masturbating all over the land. It's like the characters were the actors were reversed for the character. It was very strange.
Yeah, I think the choice for the older brother, Aegon, yeah. Right?
Not good.
He looks younger than Aemond does, although
he does.
That is perhaps because the actor who plays Aemond looks like he's 35, and and the oldest brother now looks like he's still 17. Like, just keep the older actor if you're going to age when it's supposed to be 8 years, but in fact it's just 8 months.
Yeah, it's weird. He looks like a Rogue P knockoff. Like a Kirkland signature of the Rogue Bee.
Mom, can we have Rogue Prince? We have Rogue Prince at home. The Rogue Prince at home. And then it's Aemond.
Yeah, anyway, I am not going to keep buying Rogue Prince in bulk, okay?
So apparently the Crabmen have come back to the Stepstones, and it's crab action again. So the Sea Snake went to take care of that, and then he had a classic Game of Thrones, is he not, death off screen. And now they're kind of debating, well, if he did die off screen, then we can't let Luke, the little brother, Luke Valerian, inherit because he's a bastard. And there's not going to be any more Valerians left. So let me, the very minor character that was the Sneestake's brother, let me take the throne. And he's asking Rhaenys to do this. And she's thinking about it for sure.
Yeah, she didn't say an immediate no thank you. And, the brother whose name I should know, but I don't. And honestly, I don't want to learn it. If you tell it to me, it's going to go right in one ear and out the other, because I honestly don't care.
I think it's Vaymond.
Okay.
Oh, Vaymond. Yes.
Yeah, sure. That's fine. And right, Corlys is in the offlands doing whatever the heck. We don't get an answer as to whether or not he is alive or dead by the end of this episode.
He's alive.
He's alive?
Yeah,
I mean, do you say that because of the source material or because
is one of the main characters of the book?
Yes, I am. I know that. I'm saying but they don't say that in the show.
Spoiler alert.
Stop spoiling things for Adam.
Sorry for spoiling. I mean, it's not like they got this huge actor just to. Well, I mean, they did that for Ned Stark, spoiler. Right. So I guess they could.
Shit. Yeah, you keep spoiling. I think it's important to point out Jace. The older Valerian, who is probably Harwin Strong and Rhaenyra's child, the heir to the throne after Rhaeny, if Rhaeny were to get it. And then you said Luke is the second one, right?
That's right. And then after Luke, Joffrey.
Nice.
And then after Joffrey, there's actually 2 more. It's funny that you make the Luke and Leia joke, Adam, because any other... depraved nerds in their early 30s will remember that the original book-only sequels to Star Wars, like books 7, 8, and 9, were...
Sure.
They had that as books, but not movies for the longest time. And one of the main characters was Han and Leia's son, whose name was Jace Solo, and he was a Jedi. And I really liked it. And if anybody else is relating to this, please write to me. I'm so lonely.
Yeah, he's alone in a dark room where he is a book stan of Star Wars and was sad when all of the movies
the old obliterated canon.
Yeah, but the point of all that is that Luke is not going to get the Iron Throne in that scenario. Jace would. So Luke being second would get Driftmark, correct? The Valerian seat. And that's why the brother's mad, because he's just like, everybody knows he is not Laenor's kid, dude. How are we still all pretending?
We see now time jumped Jace on Dragonstone. We know that it's Jace because they say his name 5 times
they have
in
to.
20 seconds.
How else are we going to remember these two brown-haired children's names, what they do, if we care about them? And obviously, from the amount of times I had to ask what their names were again, I still don't. Also, by the way, in the beginning of this episode, or was it last episode, was the rogue pea harvesting dragon eggs.
That was this episode.
Wonderful. Yeah. It happened for a moment. I don't know why they showed it to us, but perhaps it will matter in the future.
I mean, I assume it's for the son of him and Rhaenyra.
Right, it's for the baby that's currently in her tum, right?
There's another Aegon currently.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
These goddamn names.
I did see a meme somewhere on Twitter about the names of House of the Dragon and how it's just absolutely ridiculous.
George did this to us.
It's pretty rough. Rhaenyra and Rhaenys and Aemond and Aegon and Vaemond.
Vaemond sounds like a Digimon.
The Conqueror. Digimon.
Digital monsters. Digimon are the champions. Yo.
Ahriman.
They're absolutely.
Saruman. Oh,
wait, I want to say, there is absolutely a Vaemon. Like, don't get me started.
Oh my god. So, Metal Garurumon.
Rhaenyra and the Rogue P get the news that Vaemond, keep up your class, the brother of the Sea Snake, is going to complain to the king about the bastards. And they decide that they're also going to go complain to the king about complaining. A lot of whiny bitches in this episode go to the king with their problems.
Doesn't Vaemond know what happened last time, right? Where a whole room full of people were like, come on, Viserys, they're bastards, don't you know that? And he wasn't like, you know what, you're right.
Also, Vaemond double stupid, because does he not also know what happened before that, which is that, like, the king says, my daughter should inherit, and then when the king dies, everyone's like, yeah, psych on this.
Yeah, he didn't mean it.
So everybody's going to King's Landing, and when they get there, before that, we see a scene, it's Alicent, she's a big player in the King's Round Table or whatever, the Hands team.
Call them Team Green. We should start referring them as Team Green and Team Black.
What do they call it? The King's Council? The Round Table?
Like Sir Arthur's... King Arthur? I don't know why.
It's like most important advisors. The council, the high council. Oh, fuck it. Anyway,
the Mighty Morphin Council Rangers.
They're having the exact same discussion. They're like, "Oh, Vaemond's coming to King's Landing. You know, he's the brother of the Sea Snake." They're going through it too. And so, when Rhaenyra and Rogue P get there, we see Viserys. He's worse than ever. He's a CGI golem now. He's again aged another 100 years, so he's 150 years old now. And they show their kids to him, and it's a very sad, emotional scene, because at this point in his life, like, basically nobody loves Viserys, probably, except the two people in the room, Rhaeny and his brother.
Yeah, it's a countdown to when he dies now. And I thought the CGI on his face was pretty good, as opposed to his hands, or his hand, right? He doesn't have one of his arms, I think.
Right, whole arm's gone.
Yeah, he actually lost the arm an episode ago, and I did not fucking notice. And by the sound of it, neither did you guys.
Nope, I did not until you pointed it out.
I knew that Princess Rhaenys shook his weird hand and was like, oh, that's not an arm. Or I thought at least like, oh, that's not a hand. Like, I thought it was cut off at the wrist. Nope. Cut off at the elbow. He has a stump and no eye. He's seen better days.
Next, we get a kind of weird scene. Apparently, Prince Aegon, this guy, if you recall, is the oldest son of Alicent.
Yes,
he has been assaulting his handmaiden, basically workplace assault. And Alicent gives her sympathetic ear and some money for her troubles, and then basically tells her that she should keep her mouth shut or else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This scene was, I thought it was pretty good, because at the beginning, mm-hmm. when Alicent was talking to this handmaiden, I thought she was lending a sympathetic ear, or at least she was giving off that vibe very well. And then towards the end, not so much sympathetic, more so keep your mouth shut. Also, by the way, here's some abortion tea. I learned this from you, Rhaenyra. I learned this from you.
It led it to believe, though, that she killed this little girl.
Right. Well, it's more a classic hot D ambiguity. Yeah, we're right, like, exactly. We don't know for sure, but maybe that happened. Most things we spell out. We spell out the weirdest shit, but then random shit is up to you. Mostly murder.
Yeah, mostly murder. Alicent then goes and visits Aegon to be like, you're a bad son, you're a bad man, and somehow I'm fighting tooth and nail to put you on the Iron Throne. Like, why am I doing this?
Because she's a bad mother.
Oh, okay.
I sort of had the revelation as we were watching this, because we were having a couple conversations while we were watching it. Pretty boring episode. A lot of time to talk.
Oh, my God.
Ryan really liked the episode, guys. You should know he slept through about 10 minutes of it.
Well, I was sleepy.
Can confirm.
Okay, I cannot lay down and or be in a sitting position without falling asleep. It's not possible. Okay, some sort of medical condition that has gone, it's whatever, dude, shut up.
Especially in the coziest of cozy
rooms. Oh my God, the couch is so cozy. What are you gonna do?
I don't know how long it took me to figure this out, but like, all the Targaryens suck and are crazy and are perverted and weird. Yeah. And I made the comment at the time to Ryan and Sam that, like, the most normal one we've ever seen on screen was probably Dany, and she's a psychopathic killer.
Right, but it took her some seasons to get there. She didn't think about doing a genocide until, like, the end.
And, like, Alicent has to do this shit with them every single day as a normal person. And I think it would make anyone kind of crazy. Your kids are insane inbred mutants.
Yeah, but are her kids aren't, are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
How?
With Viserys. What do you mean? No, Aegon and Aemon pretty much showed straightforward that they're nuts.
And her oldest son, Adam, is married to her oldest daughter.
Right.
Okay, no, but I mean her kids with Viserys.
Yeah.
Like she's
right. Her and Viserys are, no, they're not. But Viserys' parents were also siblings.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's right. Okay. You did explain this to me. Sorry. Trying to keep up.
Yeah. Here. Adam's on the 8th page of his notebook at this point, and his hand hurts.
Anyhow, Rhaeny and the Rogue P go to talk to Alicent. They're concerned that Viserys is on some pretty hardcore opium, and Alicent, honestly, and this is a credit to the performance of the actor, she basically says, like, without this, he's in constant, never-ending pain all day. So, yeah, it addles his mind, but he's not in permanent agony.
Right. What would you prefer?
Kind of reasonable.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Like, yeah, if we don't give him all of these drugs, he is suffering to the nth degree. Is that what you want?
Give me that ibuprofen.
Another, I mean, I just love all the fan theories they're throwing bones to, for real, in Hot D. Because, like, the Rogue P says in this scene, like, oh yeah, and who's helping him out? The Maesters?
Sure.
Come on, I like it.
Come on, no, anyway. No, I do like, believe me, I am all in on the Maesters theory. I'm not naysaying it.
Yeah, I agree.
In the next scene, Jace and Luke tour the courtyard. Kristen Cole is fighting against a grown-up, time-jumped Prince Aemond, who is, like, has, like, Kanye West stormed the fucking stage and ripped the award for weirdest face right out of the Rogue Prince's hands.
Bringing up Kanye West at this moment in time, October of 2022, is shaky at best.
Get it right, it's yay.
Oh, shit. Yeah, he's right,
you guys,
James.
Everyone, I'm sure, and I'm sure the internet stands with me on this, Prince Aemond, very strange looking, looks as though his face was carved from wood. I remarked that he looks like the now defunct McDonald's mascot Moon Man. He looks weird, is what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah. He reminds me of a bat or something. Like
Sir Criston Cole, who's somehow still around at the end of their fight, which Aemon bests Sir Criston Cole. He's like, you'll be to winning tournaments in no time. And Aemon is basically just straight up is like, I don't care about tournaments. All I want to do is kill my uncle or whatever, or niece or nephew, somebody. You know who, you know it.
And Ryan put in the notes here that he definitely looks older than time jumped Aegon, which is absolutely true. Aegon appears to be 19 and Aemon appears to be like 37.
Right.
Like a little bit younger than the Rogue Prince.
If you're going to do two time jumps, if you're going to change actors, multiple actors, how would you not, like, you had to have screen tested these two people. Not one person behind said screen test looking at the monitor was like, do these two people not look the age they're supposed to look? I think we're fucking up here pretty bad.
What if on the day of shooting, the wrong actor goes into the trailer to get the makeup of the eye patch when it should have been the other one? Because that's what I feel should have happened.
Also, I think what is causing this moment in time, other than the fact that their looks are dumb, is that we got some actual acting out of Aemon this episode. I like the actor. I think he's doing a good job, which was going to be difficult because the child version of him, as we previously discussed, did an awesome job, was one of the, not just one of, the best child actor that they had. And we haven't really gotten Aegon's new actor, the older version of him. He hasn't really had any meaty scenes. Like, he was crying in front of Alicent and being like, I want you to be my mom. But, like, that was barely anything. So we, I don't think, as an audience, have let Aegon's actor earn the fact that he should be on screen yet. And if he doesn't pull out some, like, hardcore, I'm actually good at this really soon, then, again, why are you here?
Right. No, the guy with the eye patch, forgive me, I'm never going to get their names.
Sure.
The one with the eye patch, I think he's going to be a great villain. Like, if they keep this actor throughout the rest of the show into the next couple of series of it, I think he's great. I think he'll be great.
I do like him too. I am a little sad though, because in the book, instead of an eye patch, he keeps a fucking ruby in his eye socket.
Oh, really?
Which would have been sick.
Yeah, that would have.
that is sick.
We've already given a nickname to the rogue P Baby. I think we have to lean into that. Okay. Eye patch McGee.
Oh, in the rogue P.
That sounds like a book that I would read over and over again once every year. And you know what? The older brother at this point has not earned a nickname. He will get one when he does anything of worth.
It would not be Game of Thrones unless there was a conspiracy in a garden. And so Rainy goes to her second cousin, Princess Rhaenys, the queen who never was, and tries to get her support for Luke's claim in exchange for a double marriage, her sons, her granddaughters, which should also, in a roundabout way, solve the bastard problem.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm, you're right.
I'm so fucking lost, sure, man, on some of this stuff.
Here's, I think, what's important about Princess Rhaenys that hasn't been made very clear to the audience. She has, I think, the second biggest dragon in the world that currently has a rider. Aemond, Eyepatch McGee, has the biggest dragon in the world. She has the second one, but we haven't seen her even near a dragon or on hers. So, it's when you see her walk on screen, I think you just don't see as much power as you're supposed to with all of the context behind her. Like, her dragon is twice the size of Rhaenyra's, and somehow that hasn't been made clear to us.
I would like more dragons in this House of the Dragon show.
Sure.
I'll be real.
Sure.
I want
them. Yeah, sure.
Later, Rhaeny visits her father, King Viserys, in bed. First, she asks him about the prophecy to bring balance to the Force, and then she begs him, she's like, if you really want me to take the throne, because I'm doing this for you. I need you to help me in this moment. But he's on too many drugs and he's not really being responsive. And it's a very sad scene. A little bit emotional, actually.
Yeah.
And Patty Constantine, again, doing an amazing job. And then this scene would like come back to haunt Rhaenyra in the future, if you want to call it that. We'll talk about when Allison's having a conversation with Opioid King in the future.
Right. Well, you just said that, Ryan, and I wonder, and you guys can tell me if you think I'm off base here or if this is intentional, that the subtext here, the way they're presenting these scenes with Viserys, and this is in the source material, but not quite to this degree, like with fentanyl being in like the national conversation so much and becoming a big problem, and milk in the poppy is like more or less the exact same kind of drug in what it does to you, which is just like knock you out. Do you think this is like a social commentary? What's happening to Viserys? And it's like bodies wasting away.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No? Am I reaching too far for that?
I think you are reaching a little too far. I think that has a bit of an aura of that. But at the same time, he has been being cut by the Iron Throne for the last how many years? He's actively falling apart, perhaps due to incest or perhaps due to just the fact that he has a weak disposition in the first place. So yeah, there's a little of that, but I would, you should go on like a 10-minute rant about how it's about fentanyl. I would like that.
I think if I made a video essay on YouTube about that topic, 15 minutes long, I bet a million people would watch it.
Do it.
That's your viral.
You should do it because the HBO boys need some marketing.
Yeah, we need a YouTube presence.
Yeah, we need
a million views.
By the way, patreon.com/HBOBOYZ for $1 or more a month. You can help us do whatever. I don't know, more anything. And
right. Yeah, if you want to intern for free and run our YouTube channel where you have to manually go through and cut out the copyrighted music in these episodes and then put them on YouTube, hit us up.
Yeah, that would be lit. And we'll be back after the advertisement that is most likely ED medication or something.
Boing. Welcome back.
I truly just hope that we someday rise to the level of doing our own ad reads.
Yeah.
So I would love to do that.
Your dick was never harder unless you try these new dick pills.
Let me tell you something, James. My dick is so hard.
I don't want to be a part of this.
This might not make it into the show.
No, well, I'm keeping it. I can tell you as the person editing it, hey, future Ryan, you've kept this.
And, hi, Dad.
And you're happy about it. Yeah, right. Your father listens to this. Hey, Joe. Had a great time dancing with you at that wedding on the weekend. That last weekend,
great wedding.
It was fucking lit.
It was so good.
The next day, they have the trial. Hand of the King, Otto Hightower, Allison's dad. Adam, you got this?
Yes, I got that.
Okay, he's running the trial.
Ole, 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 ole.
I'm Wiry.
The sea snake's brother gets to go first, and he absolutely roasts Rhaenyra, but he does it in an oblique way. Like, he doesn't call her out exactly. He's just like, so we all know some people cheat on their spouses, and that is a problem in today's society. Hey, Rhaenyra.
Yeah, and then he goes on a 10-minute rant about fentanyl.
Yeah, she gets called out, Coey, fentanyl. She gets called out pretty intensely in that scene, though. He turns right to her. You are a whore.
Shit.
Well, that does not happen just yet, Adam. You're jumping in.
Oh, yeah. I'm jumping. I'm sorry. I was very excited for that.
Yeah. Please, in repentance, turn your mic off for the next 20 seconds.
All right. Hold on one
second. Don't do that. Don't do it.
All right. I'm here now.
Things are looking dicey for Rhaenyra when suddenly.
Oh, the most powerful scene.
Doom, doom.
Of this show so far.
Oh, the Undertaker theme song fucking starts.
Adam, jump in, please.
Yeah, Adam, you do the song. Doom, doom. That's Law and Order. Fuck.
What? Dun, 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 dun.
That's not the Undertale. Anyway, boom. King Viserys comes in and very weakly he staggers to the throne, brushing aside Otto Hightower. He struggles to climb the steps to the Iron Throne. His little brother, Daemon Targaryen, the rogue prince, leans down to steady his hand in a moment of true brotherly love.
Executive producer Dick Wolf.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
And it was a great sequence, I thought.
It really was.
No, that was my favorite of the episode. Scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's one of my favorite scenes of the whole show so far. It's so powerful because he is just crippled and he can't walk and he can't barely talk. And he just power moved it right into that room.
Yes. And it's huge because Alicent and Otto were about to get exactly what they wanted.
Right.
And then off the fucking top ropes comes a ghost, basically, to be like, nah, not today.
And as Ryan points out, in the last episode, just the last episode, he was telling his brother to fuck off and then banging his daughter. And then in this episode, he's like acting very sweet to his 900-year-old older brother. And I guess a lot of emotional work must have happened off screen during the time jump.
Right. I point that out in the notes. Obviously, I didn't say that out loud. That would be confusing. But yes, that is weird that in the last time when Viserys was like, let's just be friends, the rogue was like, how about you fuck yourself? And this time he's like, your crown king?
Oh, did you hear that that wasn't supposed to happen? Did you read that?
No. No, just
the crown falling down.
The crown falling off of Paddy Considine's head was not supposed to happen. Damn. And they continued filming and kept it in because it perfectly illustrated that moment. And I think that's great.
And do you guys think that maybe that was
a choice
like
by Matt Smith?
That's awesome. For Jack
I know,
and Jill.
Right? Wait, say that again?
Nothing. I was just trying to make a joke on the last thing I did.
Fuck.
Anyway. Both good points. Vaemond, at this point, the king has shot down his bullshit, and he knows it. And so he just says all the quiet parts loud. Jason Luke are bastards, and Rhaenyra is a cheater. And yeah, this is actually illegal to say.
Whore.
And if you say this, you go directly to getting your head chopped off. Which is what happens when the rogue prince chops his head off a second later.
Yep.
You're technically supposed to like go on trial,
sure,
but we skipped that this time.
Yeah, Rogue P, you know, he is operating under his own set of rules, which is that he can take Dark Sister and do whatever he wants. So he very cleanly, by the way, Valyrian steel, very strong. That was Trump-esque, very strong. he chops his goddamn head in half. His tongue going blah, 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 like ow, Vaemond's that is, as he hits the floor. And then the rogue P-Baby like gives a mic drop line of like, he can keep his tongue.
I just realized this would have been the best time to act out a scene where I could be Vaemond and Adam could be Rainey and Ryan could be Viserys.
We can still do this. I'm Viserys. We can still do this.
I mean, we don't have to do it. But we could.
I would like to do it. Yeah. That'd
be fun. How dare you call me a whore?
Nice.
All right. So, interior. Yes. The Red Keep trial scene.
Nice.
Vaemond Valerian's making his case. That'll be me. Ryan, you be the king, and Adam will be Rady.
Okay.
I am a minor character. I haven't spoken this much in all previous 7 episodes, but I'm fucking pissed because I can't say specifically why, but I think we all know what I'm mad about. And without having to say it, I can imply what the problem is. Wink, wink, wink.
Say it out loud. Say it out loud, you son of a bitch. You won't even say it. Because you know it's not true.
Vaemond, where's your brother? I called him last night and he didn't pick up.
Then, suddenly, the doors burst open.
Oh, wait, now I'm here.
And King Viserys.
Ding, 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 ding.
What? I thought you were asleep.
Nah, dude, I'm walking real soft. Oh,
share. My crown has fallen to the ground. Let this moment ring true. Who's Damon? Who's going to do it? I'll be Damon. I'll be Damon.
You dropped your crown, my lord.
Oh, shit. Thanks, dude. I thought we weren't friends, like, based on historical evidence, but this is a really big moment for us.
Now I'm Vaymond again. Let me be the lord of High Tide.
Oh, no. I changed voices. I went decrepit, and then I was like,
yeah, this is a bust, guys. I think we give up on this one.
No, we power through.
How dare you call me a whore?
You weren't being very generous, Adam. You really had to fill some of that dead air.
I know.
Dun, dun.
Anyway.
I like how you guys went back to the Law and Order theme.
Yeah, man.
Dun, dun, ga, 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 ga.
Later that night, they have an awkward Thanksgiving dinner as a whole creepy dragon family. King Viserys honors his family by taking off his golden mask and revealing his scary Phantom of the Opera face.
Yeah.
And
listen, you don't have to.
Down once more to the dungeons of my black despair. Down we bludge for the prison of my mind.
Shit.
Come on, James.
Yeah, fucking James.
No, I'm good, bro.
Okay.
I'm not going to follow that. You musical prodigy of her. But yeah, when he took the mask off, I was like, you don't have to. Don't. Maybe don't, though.
Ew, it smells.
But he's doing it to show them how serious he is about squashing the beef and how we all just need to chill. And it doesn't matter who's king.
What makes me really sad about this whole scenario is Viserys is like, he seems like very genuine. He wants to squash this beef. He wants it to be so chill before he dies, and I think he's willing to do anything to make that happen, and just it seems like everyone else could give two shits, and I feel really bad.
Well, Rhaenyra and Alicent actually do try.
Well, Rhaenyra and Alicent, like, yeah, they kind of make up, but like the kids, like when they show the kids are like freaking ragging on each other, and it's just like this really sad kind of realization that he's gonna die. And everyone hates everyone.
Right. And all the shit's going to hit the fan.
I should say Aegon is like sexually harassing his cousin who's now engaged to Jace.
Which is so unlike him.
Then Aegon stands up and does like another, it's a very Rogue P thing. Now for an ironic toast. Right?
Yeah.
To the strong boys. Because Adam, their dad, was Harwin Strong. So he's calling them bastards.
Don't patronize Adam.
Bastards.
And then a fight almost breaks out. But then the moms do put a stop to it. And then they're like, they actually share a moment where Rainey says, oh, I'll take them back to Dragonstone. It's just like a 5-hour boat ride, and then I'll come back. And Allie's like, I do hope you come back, Rainey, because I'm ready to be friends again.
It's weird that Rainey and Allison are the ones who stopped anything, right? Like, not 7 years ago, one of them cut another one with a blade.
But there was that one scene where they showed Rainey's wound, and Allison saw it, and she covered it up real quick, like, oh, just don't want to remember that. Let's forget the past.
After dinner, there's a 5-second throwaway scene in which the Rogue Prince's ex-girlfriend with the funny accent is shown to have spies in the Red Keep.
I could not care less.
Okay, sure. Then we get the very bad ending to episode 8. Alicent and Rhaeny seemingly ready to make up. Alicent lays Viserys down in bed. Viserys, in a moment of near-death senility, thinks he's talking to Rhaeny. And so he starts talking about the prophecy. Oh, the dream. Aegon, there must be on the throne. It's all up to you. And so in a scene which mirrors another terrible scene, the one where Alicent accidentally tricks Kristen into confessing, Alicent misunderstands, oopsie doodles, what Viserys is saying, which now flips her character motivation back to where it should be, which is that, like, Aegon needs to be king. It's a misunderstanding, you guys. Alicent's actually a good person. It's just, it's a wacky victim of circumstance like all of us, you know?
I gave a sarcastic okay before, but I actually do hate this as well. I because Aegon has the same name as the other Aegon. Thanks, George, for that, by the way. I don't like that this is the reason that perhaps Alicent was searching for any reason to have this line of thought. But for this to be what pushes her over the edge to be like, oh, no, it's my son. Yay, is kind of stupid.
Yeah,
there was no need for this. This is the worst change of all so far. And it's tied in to the fucking Chosen One prophecy. Really lame. I wish they would cut this shit out.
We did skip over the moment where Aemond and Daemon are staring at each other, where Aemond was like, are we going to fight right now? Because maybe Aemond's thinking like, I shouldn't fight Daemon. I'm a good swordsman, but he's killed real people and chopped them in half. So perhaps I don't do that. But I bet in a dragon on dragon fight, my gigantic dragon will have a better shot than I would. But that is the moment where Daemon is protecting Rhaeny and protecting Rhaenyra's children as well. And the meme where all femininity fades away again happens on the TikToks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then we should say, immediately after that, Viserys croaks. He's like, Alicent, I need you to misunderstand this. And now I die with no chance for further clarification.
Also, the internet is making something. Helena has a speech somewhere in the middle of that dinner that is talking about how her brother husband is basically not paying attention to her and is seeking refuge in other women. So, like, it's not even a big deal when marriages don't have any love in them whatsoever. Anyway, I'm going to sit back down right now. The internet's like, that's foreshadowing, baby. Foreshadowing.
All in all, pretty mixed bag of an episode. I was pretty disappointed when it ended. It's the tale of two shows, man, because in some ways I really like House of the Dragon, and I think in a lot of ways it is like more for the fans of the books than, say, Game of Thrones was, especially the end of Game of Thrones, clearly. But they change little stuff, which every time it's just annoying. It's just a little bit dumb, and they could have just left it the way it was, and it's just kind of baffling. This prophecy thing baffles me. I don't know why they would choose to put something so corny in the show. It's because
they felt like they had to connect it to Game of Thrones in a way that is a little bit condescending to its audience, which I don't mind that. I hated the Alicent Viserys scene. I was sad that Viserys was dying, thinking that he had fixed everything, and obviously he hasn't. But as we know, as Game of Thrones fans, James, episode 9 is usually where shit pops off, and we only have 2 more episodes, so I look forward to that, and hopefully it's awesome. Also, I don't have the same negative attitude towards episode 8 that you do. I thought it was great. I thought it had multiple scenes.
The parts you were awake for,
correct,
you thought were great.
Correct. Yes. Hey, I rewatched the parts I was falling asleep during, and it was not the episode's fault. Okay.
Ryan did have a busy weekend.
He fell asleep during parts that were acceptable.
Yeah.
That's a wrap, folks, but I do want to talk about, are we going to play Overwatch after this? I'll play a couple rounds,
sure.
That's incredibly possible. What I will say is that Adam and I are away next week.
Oh, yeah.
So 2 weeks from now, there will be a House of the Dragon episodes 9 and 10 double feature to finish out the season of the HBO Boys Does House of the Dragon. So just letting y'all know that.
I'll throw together some bullshit for next week. Maybe She-Hulk with anybody who cares. Or maybe if not that, something spooky.
If Chad decides to make an appearance. Item.
But let's talk for a second about Overwatch. I played for the first time last night. I thought it was fun. It reminded me of Halo.
It reminds me of Overwatch 1. So.
Sure.
Which I never played.
James had we had a game on Dorado. Mm. James was playing, we were a Dorado defense. James was playing Reaper. He was playing very well for never playing before. Sure. He was doing a great job, especially in a lobby that was cross-platform and had both mouse and keyboard and controller players in it. Which, by the way, when you do cross-player lobbies, it turns off the aim assist for the controller, so it makes it much harder. And in that setting that should have been very difficult, James was excelling. So I look forward to playing with you two and stomping some terrible, terrible noobs.
Yeah, so exciting news for Overwatch fans, devastating news for people who wanted to hear more of Ryan talking about Rings of Power.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, my, Rings. So I've watched all of Rings of Power. I stopped talking about it.
Is it fully out?
No, no. But it's reaching the end of the season very soon. Okay. The things they have to deal with not having half of the estate and the changes they've decided to make, a lot of them are dumb. Mm. I think at the end of it, it's going to be an overall disappointment of a first season. It's absolutely beautiful.
Oh, sure.
Breathtaking for so many parts of it.
It better be. Christ.
And narratively, it holds up about half of the time, and the other half is a bummer. But, like, amazing acting all across the board. It's just, I don't know. You get to the end of an episode, if you're me, and you're like, okay, well.
Oh, well.
But now it's Overwatch time. Forget about that. House of the
Dragon, baby.
Hot D in the morning.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.